place in the Bible does it condemn gays? Guess what, you know? We're living in the last days. Fantastic things are going to be happening. So what are you doing? What is your pastor doing? I just went to church today. I'm on vacation down here in Southern California. And I decided, I don't know if you could see, the swimming pool. When I was in seventh grade, for those 3 years in junior high school, we came here for PE, for swimming. It was kind of interesting to come back here after 40 years, 45 years, something like that. And see what it's like. Maybe I'll go for a swim even. But anyway, I decided to stop by here and maybe shoot part of a program, not all of it. And ask you a few questions. People, do you know what time it is? Is it time to play like you've been here all along, you know, for the last 2,000 years, and that life is going to go on as it is? Or do you think maybe it might be a good idea to start having your pastor, it's up to you. You could talk to your pastor. Your pastor basically is your shepherd. He only pretty much talks to you about the things that you like. And if he puts a little stuff in you may not like, it's covered. It's candy coated so you can swallow it. His job is to keep peace with you and keep you happy and teach you and not make enemies of you so it'll scare you away. So sometimes the pastor is limited what he can do. But you, sitting in the pew of your churches, can call on your pastor to bring some other information in. Well, we've been hearing that we're the last days church for many a decade now. Ever since Israel became a nation, basically the last days church began. And so, there are people that know something about the last days. And it's not your normal last days preacher. There's lots of people that talk about the tribulation and various other things, but they talk like they're telling a story of something that you're going to miss, that you're not going to see. And this story is interesting, you know, it's like sci-fi or scary movie or something like that, but we're pretty much left out of the picture. All the stuff that we're shown seems to be pretty much going to be over there and not in our own personal lives. From time to time, you really do need a shaking up to understand that there are some very dramatic things on the horizon, things that basically are going to change your life as you know it. We can look around here and people are building houses, remodeling, redesigning old places, and living day, going to work, going to church, having a pretty good old time, or not so good a time, but basically a standard old time, like it's been going on forever, for 2,000 years. And we don't much like to know something about the past. The pastor today, he's a Baptist pastor. I usually go to Assembly of God, but the place I'm staying at here goes to the Baptist church. You know, it's a pretty good sermon, but you know, one thing that I'm hearing that is consistent is we talk about Christians like somehow there's something special. You've got to be a Christian to get certain things from God. This particular message was kind of about holding grudges, and so I'm going to put my 2 cents worth in here. He's saying that, you know, as a Christian, God is the only one that can help you forgive. And he went into some particular detail emphasizing that you basically have to be a Christian to be able to forgive somebody. How does that, you know, I'm a Christian and I don't want to make good of anybody that's not of a Christian, as it were. You've got to become a Christian to get saved, of course. But this thing that God gave us to have this ability to forgive has nothing to do with being a Christian. It has everything to do with being a human being. The cultists of the occultic, the demon worshiper of the demon worshippers, they have the ability to forgive. This world would be in a great big mess that cannot be survived if we couldn't forgive. If the 6 billion people today can't forgive anybody, and most of these people aren't Christians. So it's kind of funny to listen to a pastor not think through his subject. And this is a problem we Christians have, is we look at our little point of life, our little circle, and we pretty much judge the world by it when there are 6 billion people. More than that, it's probably 6.4, 6.5. I've been saying 6.3 for a real long time. Gotta be more than that now. Anyway, so we're sitting here thinking that nothing else exists. We cannot be giving all the glory to God in a fashion that when God is giving, if we're giving glory to God, we give it to Him according to the way that He is giving. He gives the rain. It falls on the unjust and the just alike. There are many things that God gives human beings by His grace and mercy and His creating us in His image, that it doesn't matter what you believe. What matters is your basic makeup as a human being has many traits that are like God. Because we're made in His image. Because we don't believe in Him, or we believe in other gods and stuff, doesn't take away our physical makeup and our mental makeup and so forth. So what I'm trying to say is, when you're going to talk to somebody about Jesus and about God, about what God gives to Christians, you got to analyze this, because, you know, people got ears. If they're not saved and you're trying to preach a salvation message or something like that to hopefully get more people saved, you can't go around and say that Christians have special privileges when it's not special, that it's a human thing. We all can forgive. And so, in this particular case, this pastor is full of it. But, you know, I would probably say that of any pastor these days, because although they got a wonderful gift to be able to minister to you patiently week after week after week, it seems we're in a rut. Week after week, it's going over into a mundane, stereotypic, decade after decade, century after century, Christianity. And this isn't the time now. I don't care how old you are or how young you are. This isn't the time to be status quo Christian, going to the church and getting all full up with the pastor's idea. There's lots of churches around these churches. Delta, gospel is pretty much up to them. However, there's a couple of things that has to be understood. Pastor, if he's going to minister to his flock and take care of his flock, has to understand there are other things going on. There's 6 billion people out there. Life's been going on as Christianity for 2,000 years. You cannot just go and speak on a subject and not think about all this other. It should be difficult to preach when you know for a fact that there is 6 billion people, and there were 6 billion people before these 6 billion people, but 12 billion or so in all. But some sources say when they do the math, it's always been, that's been around on earth since all that died and all that are living. And so when you are talking or preaching, you have to remember there's more than the little circle that you're in. God is pretty fantastic. Did you know that? He's pretty remarkable. You go off to some country that's got hundreds of millions, if not billions of people that don't know Jesus. And what do you suspect? That God doesn't pay attention? That God hates them? Are they a generation that got cursed to 100 generations? Because we do have scriptures that does mention the word that it will be, or at least the Israelites, the Jewish people, when Jesus was being sentenced to crucifixion, they said that even have the curse onto 100 generations, onto their family. They were saying God evoke a curse onto them for 100 generations instead of letting Jesus live or something. Well, are we seeing that maybe they did something? Did the Chinese do something that the gospel hasn't been over there? It bothers me a lot when I hear 1% in Thailand are Christian. Why is this? So we have to understand that the world is going on, and you have to apply everything. If you want to apply things about the gospel, you got to not preach in a way like we got some little corner of the market on things from God, because we don't. We do indeed have some quite interesting promises and stuff after we come to Christ. And there's a lot of stuff that we have that others cannot achieve or get or request or do anything about because they're not Christians. And so it is important to keep in mind when you're thinking about things that when you are trying to say something like it's doctrine or that it's in the Bible or something like that, there are also 6 billion people who are not Christians, and much of the blessings, as it was of God, falls on them. They have wonderful love lives. They're blessed financially, and if they're not, they're blessed in the style of life they have to live. Otherwise, the world would be chaotic. And we don't have to say it would or what. We can actually go over there, look at the historical record, go back 6,000 years, and we can see, generally speaking, people somehow or another managed to get us to today. And though there's been lots of wars, lots of stuff, it doesn't really matter. If we're going to give glory to God and something neat about Christianity, opinion, but a lot of this that is free is based on a lot of opinion. It's like you got blinders on from the rest of the world. If you love truth, you cannot block out the world. You can't pick a horse wearing blinders. You've got to take those blinders off so that when you speak of the Bible, that you can understand your words have to include a greater society. Not that you are giving in to them or making it good for them. There's one way to Christ, and that's one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. They're not going to be saved. You're not going to win people if what people hear is absolute lies. And you speak some things like they're true, but they're not. We're living in the past days. One of the things that your pastor needs to do is take off his blinders so that he can see something that his message needs and support. Christians are not loners. Ministers don't have it all. It is good for your pastor to bring in other people that may have even slightly different ideas, as long as the foundation is in Jesus Christ. And the ideas may not stray too radical from your particular thing, because it's going to be really hard for you to listen to anybody with a really strange message. The only way you're going to listen to somebody with a strange message, which you're going to have to one day, is when God comes there and he'll practically have a club in his hand. It's a great shaking coming, and most of you aren't ready for it. You think you're rapture ready, and you're not. Jesus is about to return, and he's got lots of things on his mind. He's going to do many, many, many things that you're not expecting. But it's well known. I mean, the information's available. There's people that know it. God's revealed lots of things to people. And the Bible is really something important. This particular pastor has the NIV, most of his sermon, and he used a couple of other versions of a few things, but he never used the King James Version. When I hear people using modern versions, it just never stops amazing me how blind people are. He was talking on holding grudges, and you should let go of the past so you can go forward to that mark, to that promise, to eternal life. Well, if you're holding on to the belief that modern versions are the Word of God, how are you going to let go of it? If you hear somebody telling you only the King James and all the modern versions are Satan counterfeits, and here's the places you can go to find this out for yourself. You don't have to believe me. You can find out for yourself. I mean, it's hard to let go of your modern versions. You don't want to give up something that you love. And it's an insult to you. So you're going to hang on to something that's dragging you down. And you don't think it's dragging you down because you're going day by day thinking everything's fine. You don't know that your actions are building up something for the future, that it's something's conditioning you. But there's a purpose for modern versions, and it's not Christianity. It's got a whole nother agenda in mind. People, you need to get ready. Jesus is coming. Two names is all you need to find out that modern versions are Satan counterfeits, and that's Westcott and Horn. These two people, men, that got the Bible, the official Church of England Bible in the 80s, are the ones who wrote Satan counterfeit Bibles. Is there an easy way to get you to start looking this up and finding out? But hey, you know, you just love to hold on to your past because you believe that modern versions are the Word of God. Come on, folks, get ready. Turn over a new leaf in life. Begin to seek truth. It doesn't hurt to read something. You're not going to fall head and line over into satanic worship because you're reading something you think might be satanic. That's not how it works. That's not learning the ways of other gods. What it does, what it is learning the truth. You can learn, you can read about facts, you can see the credibility of it, you can see the sources that they get this information from, you can track it down. It's not an evil that is telling you that modern versions are Satan counterfeit. People, look up Westcott and Horn. And remember, we're in the last day. It's not going to be like everything else. There's going to be great deceptions. Tell your pastor to bring some people into your church that can give you an insight into what's about to happen and what effect it's going to have on you. Because there's lots of information that's just not allowed to be spoken in your church that's going to have a great effect on your life. Come on now, people.